of my heart, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.
Amen.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to the light. John went out to the river Jordan and preached repentance, proclaiming, I baptize you with water. One is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Through our baptism, we are called to also be witnesses to the light. And I think Advent is a good time to think about how we are called to be witnesses to the light of Christ in the world. Some are called to do so through great actions, such as going off to foreign lands as missionaries, risking imprisonment or even death. Certainly the healthcare workers who have died from the Ebola virus were witnesses of the ministry and the witness of Jesus Christ. Others are called to witness as they volunteer their vacation time rebuilding homes in Honduras. While still others respond in a different ministry of witness. One such person is Saint Teresa of Lisieux, and she embarked upon a different spiritual witness. Teresa is one of the most beloved and emulated saints throughout the world, and it is most remarkable because she was born in a small French city back in 1873. Teresa was a spiritually precocious 15-year-old when she entered the austere, cloistered religious order of the Sisters of Carmel. She died at the age of 24, having never left the abbey. And she just left behind a few poems, a play, and a slim biography. So why is she so loved and emulated? I think it is because she was the saint with whom we all can identify. She seemed so approachable and accessible. Teresa knew she was not meant to write profound theological works or travel across France establishing abbeys. Teresa chose what has been called the little way of perfection. Seeking God's help, she sought each day to be perfect. Now, one might think there is not much opportunity for great sinning in a severe 19th century cloistered abbey. And true, not many, any, Ten Commandment sins presented themselves. But just try to imagine for a moment going through an entire day without once getting angry, being impatient, having pride about something, feeling annoyance, or being judgmental. I recall one passage in her biography where Teresa struggled to be free of irritation at the nun who always knelt behind her, clinking her rosary beads on the back of Teresa's pew. An irritation that interfered with Teresa's time with Jesus and prompted dark, uncharitable thoughts about this nun. Now, this is not a monumental sin, but Teresa felt it was wrong, and she prayed to let go of this daily annoyance. When she was free of this irritation, she really was a witness to Jesus' compassion and patience, and it certainly improved her prayer life and her disposition. The first few years that Teresa was at the abbey, she received a fair amount of criticism from some of the nuns who felt she was much too young to be in the convent. In reading Teresa's biography, so much of this criticism seems unfair and just plain mean-spirited. However, she was able to accept it all with kindness and humility. But Teresa was not a plastic saint. She was not born with supernatural perfection. As a child, she was willful, overly sensitive, and certainly very self-centered. However, at the age of 13, she had a stunning moment of transformation and began her spiritually mature journey to the abbey when she was only 15. Yet even in the convent, initially, she struggled daily against sins of pride and impatience, but in time, she overcame them. There is, however, a catch-22 of sorts in seeking to be perfect in the little ways of life. Pride had succeeded. Teresa managed the tricky challenge of being exceptionally self-aware, yet free of pride in her spiritual progress. She avoided this pitfall by keeping her mind and spirit always focused on Jesus. Everything she said and did was informed by her awesome love of Jesus. She did not seek perfection just to be perfect. She had an astonishing insight into the meaning of the Gospels and the various ways in which she could be a witness to Christ. She was profoundly grateful for all the blessings of her life and was passionate in her prayers for others. Because she was free from so many extraneous, distracting thoughts and actions, Teresa possessed an understanding and intimacy with Jesus that was remarkable for anyone, but was especially remarkable for one so young and of limited worldly experience. Teresa did not have an easy time of it. Life in a 19th century cloistered order was physically uncomfortable and involved its own unique emotional stresses. But it is true that Teresa did not have to deal with the astonishing, complex life we all lead today. Rambunctious children, surly salespeople, rude drivers, financial worries, health issues, concerns around aging, and the very real problems of war and peace. But I wonder if the greater the challenge, the greater the opportunity to be a witness for Christ. It may not be an heroic action, but sincerely wishing a harried salesperson a good day might actually turn his or her day around. I spend sufficient time around children and parents to appreciate the unique emotional stresses involved in parenting. To be a parent means to be continually worried about the safety and health of one's children. And I know there never seems to be enough time, energy, patience, courage, and wisdom. Being a Christ-centered parent and witness requires a dash of humility, a great deal of patience and prayer, and a giant leap of faith on a daily basis. Keeping informed about the political issues of the day, staying fair and realistic and also hopeful, and consistently voting one's conscience is being a witness in the world. Maintaining courage and fortitude in the presence of financial worries, pain, and illness requires special patience and courage and is truly a witness to the light of Christ. As we heard today, St. Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing. But Thomas Merton reassures us that all work is prayer, and we leave the results to God. I am also reminded of Edith Stein. She was a Christian convert to Christianity and a cloistered nun who died during World War II in a concentration camp. Edith wrote that the most perfect prayer was the Lord's Prayer, said with utter and complete concentration, not one second of extraneous thought. Sounds easy, but really isn't. But what a perfect encounter with Jesus. The Lord's Prayer, when lived out in all our thoughts and actions each day, is an exquisite example of how each of us, every day, can be a witness to the light of Christ in all our encounters. And it is a simple and effective way to keep our hearts and minds focused on Christ. Lord, help me to know Thee more clearly, to follow Thee more nearly, and to love Thee more dearly day by day. Amen.
Amen.